Monsieur de Chagny patted the round shapes and kept on saying, "Barrels, barrels, what a lot of barrels!" Indeed, there was quite a number of them, symmetrically arranged in two rows, one on either side of us. They were small barrels, and I thought that Eric must have selected them of that size to facilitate their carriage to the house on the lake. We examined them successively to see if one of them had not a funnel, showing that it had been tapped at some time or another, but all the barrels were hermetically closed. Then, after half lifting one to make sure it was full, we went on our knees and, with the blade of a small knife which I carried, I prepared to stave in the bunghole. At that moment I seemed to hear, coming from very far, a sort of monotonous chant which I knew well, from often hearing it in the streets of Paris. "Barrels? Barrels? Any barrels to sell?" My hand desisted from its work. Monsieur de Chagny had also heard it. He said, "That's funny. It sounds as if the barrel were singing." The song was renewed farther away. "Barrels, barrels, any barrels to sell?" "Oh, I swear," said the Viscount, "that the tune dies away in the barrel." We stood up and went to look behind the barrel. "It's inside," said Monsieur de Chagny. "It's inside." But we heard nothing there and were driven to accuse the bad condition of our senses. And we returned to the bunghole. Monsieur de Chagny put his two hands together underneath it, and with a last effort I burst the bung. "What's this?" cried the Viscount. "This ain't water." The Viscount put his two full hands close to my lantern. I stooped to look, and at once threw away the lantern with such violence that it broke and went out, leaving us in utter darkness. What I had seen in Monsieur de Chagny's hands was gunpowder.